Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Leaders across the country are standing together, pledging their unity on marriage. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber to talk about this important issue. Matt, tomorrow there will be a march in Washington, D.C. called the National March for Marriage. And then next Tuesday will be the oral argument before the United States Supreme Court on the issue of marriage, and particularly the purported redefinition of marriage. And so in light of that, this week, leaders from across the country released this marriage pledge, standing together, pledging unity on the issue of marriage, coming from a wide variety of perspectives. This includes evangelical Protestants. It includes Catholics, Orthodox, Christians, people of the Jewish faith, across wide spectrums that don't agree on a number of doctrinal issues, have serious disagreements on certain issues, but agree on this one thing, and that is that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, and this is a line that they cannot and will not cross.
Yeah, Matt, you and Deacon Keith Fournier, a Catholic, drafted this together. It is a fantastic marriage pledge, and it states a number of self-evident truths relative to marriage. It points out that the United States Supreme Court is delving into an area, you know, Scripture says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, render unto God what is God's, that we will not, as Christians, render unto Caesar what is God's. And the institution of marriage was designed by God, created by God, can no more be redefined or suspended and changed and deconstructed than can gravity be suspended or changed or deconstructed. And so this is very powerful, and it shows an amazing unity within the body of Christ, Catholic, Orthodox, Evangelical, all coming together and saying, no, we will not play along with this game that presumes to redefine that which cannot be redefined.
It says at the very beginning, on the matter of marriage, we stand in solidarity. We affirm that marriage and family have been inscribed by the divine architect into the order of creation. Marriage is ontologically between one man and one woman, ordered toward the union of the spouses, open to children, and formative of family. It goes on to talk about the importance of marriage, and that marriage, as existing solely between one man and one woman, precedes civil government. Though affirmed, fulfilled, and elevated by faith, the truth that marriage can exist only between one man and one woman is not based on religion or revelation alone, but on the natural law written on the human heart and discernible through the exercise of reason. It is part of the natural created order. The natural law is what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. referred to as a higher law or a just law in his famous letter from Birmingham jail. And we go on to talk about this important matter of marriage. We talk about the fact that you cannot confer a legal equivalency to any relationship other than marriage between a man and a woman by the legislature or the judiciary, because it sends the message that children do not need a mother and a father. And it says, as a policy matter, such unions convey the message that moms and dads are completely irrelevant to the well-being of children. Such a policy statement is unconscionable and destructive. Authorizing the legal equivalency of marriage to same-sex couples undermines the fundamental rights of children and threatens their security, stability, and future. And we also say, as you said, Matt, neither the United States Supreme Court nor any court has authority to redefine marriage and thereby weaken both the family and society. And we're saying to the Supreme Court, this is a warning. Do not cross this line, because if you cross this line, you will cross the line into illegitimacy. Such a decision is not consistent with the rule of law. Such a decision would be lawlessness.
Well, Matt, you also point out in this marriage pledge and in the great article that you wrote for the Christian Post that while the truth about marriage can be known by reason, which it can, these are, again, self-evident truths, biological facts, the marriage pledge notes that when government purports to redefine marriage, quote, that same government will then enforce such an action with the police power of the state. This will bring about an inevitable collision with religious freedom and conscience rights. We cannot and will not allow this to occur on our watch, Matt. And as you know, we are seeing new examples of this occurring every day with Christian bakers and business owners and quaint, you know, small little innkeepers and florists, and on the list goes. And, you know, you think about Memories Pizza. They're in Indiana, and just the hate mail and the death threats and how they were completely berated, and even people tried to shut them down simply because, just hypothetically, they said they could not cater a gay wedding if they had been asked to. They were never even asked to. So we see that this pits the government and directly against the free exercise of religion, which I believe was the strategy all along with this. It was never about marriage. It was always about control over freedom of religious expression.
Well, here's a statement, you know, in regards to the Supreme Court. It hasn't always gotten things right. In fact, it's gotten some things dreadfully wrong. And this is from the pledge. The Supreme Court was wrong when it denied Dred Scott his rights and said blacks are inferior human beings. And the court was wrong when Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote in Buck versus Bell, three generations of imbeciles are enough, thus upholding Virginia's eugenics law that permitted forced sterilization. Shamefully, the pledge states, that decision was cited during the Nuremberg trials to support the Nazi eugenic Holocaust. And we go on to say, we will view any decision by the Supreme Court or any court the same way history views the Dred Scott and Buck versus Bell decisions. Our highest respect, the pledge continues, for the rule of law requires that we not respect an unjust law that directly conflicts with the higher law. A decision purporting to redefine marriage flies in the face of the Constitution and is contrary to the natural created order. As people of faith, we pledge obedience to our Creator. When the state directly conflicts with higher law, we respectfully warn the Supreme Court not to cross this line. And the pledge ends with these words. We stand united together in defense of marriage. Make no mistake about our resolve. While there are many things we can endure, redefining marriage is so fundamental to the natural order and the common good that this is the line we must draw and one we cannot and will not cross.
And those are key words there, that we cannot and will not cross. People don't seem to understand. They say, well, why don't you just, you know, recognize gay marriage? If the law is somehow changed to superficially reflect that two men can marry or two women, you just have to abide by that. People don't understand that as Christians, we answer to God, and we will not obey an unjust law that is in conflict with the natural law and the laws of nature's God. We will not, we cannot, and that's why you see these Christian bakers and florists and so forth. People don't seem to understand that this is not a matter of something we can do. We simply cannot and will not, and if Christians are going to remain faithful to Scripture, to God, to truth, they will not recognize counterfeit same-sex marriage under any circumstances ever. And if that means that Christians will be persecuted, then let's put it out there for all to see.
That's exactly right. We will not, because, as you say, we cannot cross that line. We just simply cannot cross the line. We will render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but we will not render to Caesar what belongs to God. We will render to God what belongs to him. And as you mentioned earlier, once you cross this line, we have seen that the government then begins to enforce people of faith, Christians, to participate and to promote sexual immorality and sin. And that's a line we cannot, and therefore we will not, cross. You can go to defendmarriage.org to read the pledge or call us at 800-671-1776. Pray this weekend and pray next week for this important decision. You know, as this decision is coming down, I'm not waiting with bated breath to catch a few crumbs from the high court's table. I'm really past waiting with bated breath, wondering what new constitutional right we have that we never discovered, or what constitutional right we had that we now have lost because they discovered something new that no one ever found or, frankly, even thought of. I am past that. I believe that this is a critical point Constitution is clear. There's no right to same-sex marriage. If these people on the Supreme Court or any court come up with some concocted notion of a so-called constitutional right to same-sex marriage, they walk into the realm of illegitimacy, and we ought to treat it as such. I encourage you to become part of this Stand Your Ground initiative that we have at Liberty Council. Stand your ground for these kinds of inalienable truths. Call us today or go to lc.org.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.